Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 270, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Ooh,
I was saying that a little like Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe.
Yeah. When he said, I want to kiss you.
Thank you.
Anyways, that's how I'm feeling. I want to kiss you. I could care less about the team struggling,
the team
Miles.
Struggling right now. Yeah.
Just want to kiss you.
I just want to kiss you.
It's Wednesday, January 11th, 2023, the day on which when we look at the calendar, we say, ooh, 111, 111. Ooh, make a wish, 111, 111.
Yeah. You know what? That's surprising. There's nothing like palindrome, like, adjacent with any of these days. It's Heritage Treasures Day, which sounds like what the British Museum of History would talk about the things they've stolen.
Right.
Like Heritage Treasures Day from other places we've stolen.
That is...
But it's about, I don't know, they say it's about celebrating your own heritage or something like that. Would look at old photographs, volunteer at an excavation dig. Because, you know, those are constantly popping up everywhere. It's also National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. That's a worthwhile cause. National Milk Day, National Arkansas Day, and actually a very appropriate day, National Step in a Puddle and Splash Day for those of us in California. Oh man, shouts and prayers and all that to the people in Northern and Central California, because I know, or you know, just above us, it's getting really bad.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody's staying
there.
Okay.
Stay safe.
Even Ellen, did you see her? She was panicked.
She was like, God is mad at us, all of us, not just me.
There's this video where she, like, I guess, apparently she has, like, a creek bordering her property. So, like, all this water was, like, flowing through, and she's doing a selfie. She's like, it's really bad right now. And I immediately went, like, let me figure out what this property looks like really quick. Because it's not like you're doing some, like, live on the street reporting. And she has this, like, estate there that I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, you're doing all right now.
The whole place with the Oprah and the Ellen and the Prince Harry estates, all they had to evacuate. Oh, so,
all right. They're all right. Yeah, because, I mean, 5 years ago, right, there was that terrible, like, rock slide that ended up killing, like, over 20 people.
Yeah, man. And there's some terrible rock slides happening now. It's, you know, it's bad when a rainstorm where you live is on the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah, right. But, well, because, you know, the earth has been so dried up, just like a little bit of moisture can set off all kinds of stuff.
And this little drainage pipe that I have that's always clogged up, got it unclogged, and now there's just water coming up through it as if to mock me. Like, nah.
You're doing the opposite.
Me, yeah. We're doing the opposite here. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Young Chapo, a.k.a. El Chapito, a.k.a. El Chapo off the old block. That is in reference to the fact that ever since the arrest of El Chapo's youngest son, people have been pointing out that they think we look alike, which I appreciate.
Oh, shit.
Because I think he's like pretty handsome.
He could get it, and he's young. And Francesca Fiorentini raised it to the level of conspiracy. She said, why does Jack O'Brien look like El Chapo's son? And why have we never seen them at the same place at the same time?
Wow, Hannah Montana over here. Okay.
I'm actually not allowed to comment on that.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah. It's,
you were in Sinaloa recently, right?
I was not. No. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Soon I'm gonna be a big papa. Throw my hands in the air. I am real scared. Soon I'm gonna be a big papa. Got a bag to grab in case Her Majesty water breaks. Why? Because I think Her Majesty might have started having the baby. Maybe. Shout out to Christy. I'm a Gucci man at Waffle House for that wonderful Christopher Wallace banger. Inspired AKA.
Yeah, yeah.
I am nervous, though. He knows that because he DM'd me and I was like, bro, I'm fucking tripping over here.
<He's>
so
like,
thank
well,
you for
let
putting
us
that in the lyrics.
It through song.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's like, yeah, you should be nervous. It's crazy. It's a crazy event.
And it can happen anytime. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most, you know, like I got married last year. At least you know that's a day. You're like, I gotta pull up on this day correctly.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm like, huh? Everything okay? I don't know if I said this on the air. I think I was saying this off mic to Becca. I was with Her Majesty. She had a water bottle and she dropped the bottle and the bottle cap broke off, like shattered, like the plastic cap shattered off. And she goes, oh no, my water broke.
What?
And she said that in the other room. I said, what?
She's been planning like, oh, my that shit.
She was like, my bad. I did not mean to say it like that at all. The cap broke off the water. So that's kind of on pins and needles, but excited.
Yeah. All right. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant writer, speaker, social justice educator who's written for Ebony, Complex, Out, The Root, and appeared on NBC News, BuzzFeed, Vox, many others. They're also the host of the amazing podcast BFF, Black Fat Femme. Please welcome Dr. John Paul Higgins!
Dr. Jones!
Hello, salutations. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back.
I'm always excited. It's good seeing you both online and off. I know we got to see each other.
I know.
It was a holiday party.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it was fun.
A white elephant gift exchange.
Wait. Remember, got a little, I don't know if I should be saying this on mic. I remember it was getting a little tense.
This year?
At the white elephant. Because I remember John got this Starbucks coffee. And someone's like, you don't want that, huh? They're like, it's okay. You can just give it away.
It was
like
the
polite tenseness.
Yeah, there was a polite tenseness around me winning a phone. Basically, it was like a phone zapper for like bacteria or whatever.
My thing was, I just don't know where.
And that's basically what I said. I was just thinking, okay, here we go. Another electronic product that I have to bring home that I have no idea where I'm going to put.
Right.
And so they were like, oh, you can just go ahead and take the Starbucks when you could trade it. And I was like, okay, bet. And so, yeah, it wasn't that I was mad about it. It was just,
it was more on the other side being like, you don't like it, huh? Like, it was more like that kind of thing.
It's all good. I'm fine. I just don't know where I'm going to put it.
Because
it is useful. But no, it was all good. But I'm glad that I get to see you all and, you know, on the mic again in
Anna
2023.
Anna had the GOAT gifts, too. She spot on because I got the Mariah Carey on vinyl Christmas album. And then Jack got the Wordle board game.
Yeah, exactly.
Laser guided focus. She's honestly one of the best gift givers, I would say.
Yeah. Truly. In the world.
Yeah.
For my little ones, she always hooks it up and gets them their favorite toy every Christmas. Shout out to producer Anna Hosniak.
That's the kind of like family friend you want to be. Like, that's what I always think when I have friends with gifts. Like, you want them to be the one that thinks you always bring the lit shit. I remember as a kid, those are the adults. I was always like, so-and-so's coming over? Yes. Yeah. They're either going to bring ice cream or like stickers or some shit. It's such a low bar to like be like, I'm going to lay my foundation in your memory, young child.
I tell people, you want to be friends with people like me because I am queer and I have disposable income. So that means when I'm really good friends with you, that means I'm going to spoil your child to death. I'm seeing one of my friend's kids tonight and I know he's going to be excited because whenever we see him, he knows that that means he's getting dessert and treats and whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I'm really big on that notion of like spoil other people's kids and then give them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to check in with a couple white guys who are doing great.
Yeah. Nothing to
Matt
see here.
Schlapp and the UFC guy.
Dana White.
Yeah. Could.
A lot so of soft shoeing going on around this.
Yeah. The media is just treating it. Dana's going through a tough time. He feels bad. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the number one story on the right, which is that Biden also had some classified documents.
Oh, God.
How many? 700?
I think like a handful.
I think they said less than 10 or something like that.
But
there's some shadiness to it. We'll get to it. There's a shady element.
We have a conspiracy to report on from back in 2012.
Ugh.
Kim Kardashian was flower bombed. Did either of you remember this event?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I don't know where I was, what was going on with me, but
you had better shit to do.
Probably
be online.
Yeah.
I was just way too online on the celebrity, but it's like, this was like peak, Perez Hilton almost?
Yes.
Or did Perez start falling off maybe a little bit before that? Anyway, but like in the era of like celebrity gossip websites.
It was a conspiracy. It was a PR stunt that she was in on. So we're going to talk about that and also speculate about what other PR stunts, what other things that seemed a little strange at the time might have been PR stunts. Because it feels somewhat ingenious. I guess the fact that you guys know about it like that.
Yeah.
They figured it out. It's also the clearest example of a brainstorm where you can like hear the cocaine being snorted that I've seen in a while. Like, I feel like this is where all that energy from 80s movies was into the world of PR.
It's called conflict marketing, man.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We might get to the new Passion of the Christ movie, all of that, plenty more. But first, Dr. John, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Yeah. So I want to say up front that I am, amongst all of the many things that I do, I am a dreaming TV writer / screenwriter. I have written a film. I have written a lot of TV pilots. That's my subtle way of saying, somebody, if you're listening, please rep me. I went and saw Megan this weekend, and really M3-gan? Great film. Is it M3-gan? Is that what it
is? No, that's the dumb way we
that's the only way I can say it.
Well,
it is Megan.
we went and seen it. I've been doing the dance all weekend, but the thing for me is seeing how much money went into making the film and then how much money actually has been made from the film. It got my wheels spinning, and I was like, how does that split actually work? So wanting to just kind of go in and better understand it, because there's all this talk about money around the film. For me, I spent a little bit of time this last couple of days kind of Googling how someone actually makes money when a film like that does really big, and then thinking to myself, like, what would I need to know, or what should I be thinking about if I decide to sell something, in terms of like a film. So that was what I had been searching, and then ultimately spending a lot of time just reading up who's been thinking what about the film Megan. So
I
would say it's ultimately pretty fucked up. Like I've had this experience where you hear like the director gets a lot of the credit for the movie, and the actors are like the main people that we associate it with it, and that's not the case in like in the world of plays, like the Tonys, the big award is like for the playwright, you know,
it's about the writer. Yeah.
In the Academy Awards, like the original screenplay is always like, I think, the most interesting group of movies, or usually among the most interesting group of movies. And it's not one of the main awards that people pay attention to. And then when you like go back and read scripts of movies, like classic movies, it's like, oh, that shit's like all there on the page. Like, they did that. Like, that's, but it's not, that's not how the incentive structure is set up.
No. And I mean, also, once you do a deal, right? Like, if you got a manager, you got a lawyer, you got an agent, that's 25% right there.
Yep.
Because your manager and your agent get 10, your lawyer get 5. So then you got to really negotiate your fee. And then after the fee, What other fucking things can you get? Like, can you get a producer credit on it? Can you get a whatever? Like, what are the credits that you're getting? What are the back end points you're going to negotiate? Are you going to have like, is it? Because the huge thing, too, is what a lot of people like, oh, this money made so much money. You got to go, well, first, the studio has to get recoup all their marketing money.
Right.
That's the big thing that ends up shrinking the pie, because they're like, well, we have to spend fucking $13 million to get people to get in here. So. Yeah. You know, do a little.
They usually at least double the production budget.
Yeah, they're, it's called waterfall.
The budget that gets reported is the production budget, but then they double, at least double it for the if it's a movie that like exists and they're not just like dumping in theaters.
Yeah,
but just trying to be like Robert De Niro, you know, was it Bill Murray who has no reps?
Yeah, yeah,
that's always so funny.
That's insane to me. That is so insane to me.
I mean, that's a different time.
I could not imagine.
And that's how you end up making Garfield, because the name of one of the directors is Cohen, and you think it's, I think it was either Joel or Ethan Cohen, and he was like, oh, the Cohen brothers are making a Garfield movie? And just went and starred in a Garfield movie by accident. So
there you go.
Is that true?
That's a true story. Yeah. He admitted that he thought it was the...
What?
Yeah.
Please bet all your opportunities.
Oh, my gosh.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. So I'm ready. I already know. I get canceled and get in trouble for everything anyway. I'm going to say I think Chick-fil-A is overrated. And the reason why I say Chick-fil-A is because, one, they're building... So where I live, I have one on one side of me and they're building another one on the other side of me. And the one that is near me is near a Best Buy, and I can never get into the Best Buy when I need to get into it. It's like I have to go all the way around the corner because
the drive-through line?
Yeah, because of the line. The way that the line is set up into the Chick-fil-A, it blocks both of the entrances into the Best Buy. And I just recently, probably telling you all way too much, I had to buy a dehumidifier for my apartment, and I was so annoyed, and I just was like, I don't get it. Like, it's, for me, it's not even so. Given they are very homophobic, very much in this notion of like, oh, you know, we don't like the gays. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's not even that. It's like the food is not good. Like, I've eaten there one time in my life, and it was the most bland and the most, like, it just, I don't get it. I just don't get the draw. And same thing with In-N-Out. Like, I know people go up for In-N-Out, especially people who don't live here. But I feel like Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out are very much a staple of Southern California, and I don't understand why. I mean,
Chick-fil-A is a new, I mean, because we didn't get Chick-fil-A in California until like maybe 10 years ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
But now, but Southern California
is reacting to it like it is.
Yeah. Yeah, like it is the greatest thing ever.
Same with Raising Cane's. It's not the greatest. It's like, it's just a chicken sandwich. Really?
It's just what you need is like, there's just, because I think the difference is there's the chicken sandwiches at like the fast food places, like the, you know, like the McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's or whatever. And those just don't hit as well as the places that they're like, we do chicken. And if you like chicken, then I it makes sense. But I haven't had Chick-fil-A in maybe like since the pandemic began. And I don't live near one. So I've like slowly just like forgotten about it. And plus, I like Popeyes because I like the red beans and rice. And the
Popeyes is better. Gravy.
Yeah.
It's good.
The chicken sandwich was the only thing I would get at any of these places by far better at Popeyes. I am the victim of some like ingenious, shrewd, predatory Chick-fil-A marketing, because when I was in high school, they sold Chick-fil-A in our high school cafeteria.
Oh, shit.
Like, that is when you are at your hungriest as a human. Is like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like, as a teenager, coming in there and, you know, I have my bag lunch. Loft. And then people are coming away with those, like, little nuggets and the chicken sandwiches. And, like, I can't not associate that. Like, I don't go to Chick-fil-A, but in my mind, Chick-fil-A, like, that is both smart marketing and should be illegal if it's not already.
Right. Get them while they're young, basically. Yeah,
get them while they're just push.
Get them while they're young. Yeah.
So we had a Taco Bell in our middle school.
In California. Oh, you did? I know in California, there were some schools where they would bring Taco Bell in for the school lunch, basically. Mm-hmm.
You could only get the bean burrito, but.
Yeah.
Or Wiener Schnitzel ones, too. Good. I was like,
oh, wow. Wiener Schnitzel.
I can't stand that shit. That
Wiener Schnitzel?
Yeah. Those hot dogs taste like, I don't even know what. They're like, they just aren't They're not right.
Kind of gross. Yeah. I said they kind of gotten gross. I eat wiener schnitzel when you're like, you know, how you're like in a rush and you're just kind of like, I just need something to eat. And what's the nearest, closest? We have a wiener schnitzel next to the freeway where I live. And so I usually just zip through there. And then they also sell Mountain Dew. I've been on here and I've talked to you about my love for Mountain Dew.
Yes.
So they sell, like, I know for a fact that they have Mountain Dew, and that's usually the one brands, reason why I go there.
What is something you think is underrated?
So I'm going to make a very big statement, and then I'm going to make a smaller statement under it because they connect. Doing stuff alone. And what I mean by that is I went and saw, so my partner, he wasn't a fan of Black Panther. And so when I told him I want to go see Wakanda Forever, he was like, meh. And I just was like, okay, I'll go see it by myself. And so I recently got that AMC Plus pass where you can go see all the movies. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, going to the movies by yourself is nice. Like, I almost, he'll never listen to this. He'll probably hear me playing it, but he'll never listen to it. Well, I wanted to go see Megan by myself, but he came along with me. And when we were done, I was like, I'm kind of glad that he came. But part of me was like, damn, this movie would have probably been really nice if I was by myself. So just learning, like, really how to enjoy my own company. But I really feel like going to the movies by yourself is that girl. Like, it's the thing to do.
It's my number one activity. I love it. If I have I've never suddenly done that. Free time for some reason. You've never done it? So
I've eaten by myself. I'll go to a, it's weird. I'll have a meal by myself.
Yeah.
But I think, because I'm an only child, I think I grew up with going to a movie as like a social thing I would do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I love being by myself. Trust me, ain't nobody likes to chill with themselves more than me. Mm-hmm. But now that I hear this all the time and I'm like, shit, yeah, eventually I'll get to that. But I have never done it. I don't know this pleasure.
So I'm a type of, like, my psychological defect makeup is that I naturally, like, without therapy, I live through how the people around me are feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, very sensitive to them and, like, want to, you know, I don't, like, I can't
hyper-aware
sit there and watch a movie with somebody and be like, I don't care if they like it or not. Like, that's all, like, I'm so focused on that the movie.
Oh, you're like me, show somebody Planet Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's just like so much.
You fucking with it. Right.
So going to the movie by myself is like really it for me because it's the only time I can like fully appreciate a movie. Yeah. And it might have something to do with going to see Something About Mary with my mom when I was a kid and her turning to me and saying, "What's in her hair?"
Oh, no.
Yeah. At that scene. Yeah. Like, maybe that spoiled it.
Jack, you saw that movie with your mother?
Yeah, with my mom.
That shit came out, what, in like 98? So, what, you're 18 or something?
Yeah. We're just...
love this. You're 18.
Let's go see Something About Mary. What a choice for a film.
I love that. Love that.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. And she was asking you, like, out of the innocence of her heart? Like,
she didn't know. And then when she figured it out, she like laughed really hard. But yeah,
oh, shit.
I was like,
what about
Mom,
the zipper scene?
I don't know how to. I think she knew what that was.
I know. But how was that like watching that kind of like, you know, raucous,
it was
vulgar
awful.
Comedy with someone's testicles and the zippers and you're sitting next to your mother?
Yeah, like, it was not great. Not great.
Yeah.
I just think it's for me. It's the bigger part for me is like I hate. I think the older I get, the more I'm learning that I don't like to share. And it's like having to make decisions around how much butter to put in the popcorn, what drink to share with somebody. It's like, I just don't want to do that. Let me just go by myself so I can enjoy the full movie experience without having to argue with you over. And it's not even my partner. It's just people in general. Oh, we should go see this movie together. No, we shouldn't. I'm going to go see it by myself because I don't want to have to deal with that.
Did y'all see the TikTok video of that guy in the movie theater in Texas who was buttering that popcorn?
Ooh.
If you care about how popcorn is buttered, hold on, I'm just playing this video for you. Look at my man's here. He's about to, he's flipping.
Oh.
He's twirling.
Oh, I saw this guy.
Look, butter, boom. Get another scoop on there. Flip it, twirl it, get another layer of butter. Look at it. He got the techers and everything.
He
got the technique
the best
down.
Technique. He is the popcorn guy.
He's also making a mess. but he is. He's also making a mess.
Yeah, but, just off screen is around his ankles is a 3 foot high pile of popcorn.
That's a lot of popcorn that's on the ground, girl. But what I will say is, so it's funny because I had retweeted that video and I was like, that reminds me of when I worked at Starbucks and people would come in with all these weird requests for their drinks about like how much frappuccino to put in, how much was liquid versus how much was like actually blended. And someone was saying that when they worked at AMC, they like long time ago back in AMC, people would come in and specifically be like, I want 47% butter. And then I want you to put another scoop in. And then I want you to hit with another 27% of butter. And then I want you to put another scoop in and then do 3 packets of salt. Like, people are that exact. Yeah. People are weird.
So that's why they put that shit on the outside for you to do.
Yeah, like, do it yourself. Get somebody else to do it. Get somebody else to do it.
You can always take one little hack. You just say, all right, I'll buy the tickets. And then if it's assigned seating, you put like the three people you're with one place and then you put yourself all the way across. You're like, I don't know. It said that it was crowded or something. I guess everybody just
and
like
our seats
canceled.
Got moved.
I guess a bunch of no shows then. Yeah. Well, their seats still open. I don't, in case they come, I don't want to
stay back here. Oh, man. All right. Gosh. Let's take a quick, we'll link off to the popcorn guy in the footnotes.
Popcorn
so you
guy
can see,
footnotes.
But he's basically taking the joy and,
he's spinning the hell out of that popcorn.
Yeah, he's got a bucket that he's spinning on his finger, then filling it up with a scoop, then putting like a circle of butter, then tossing it. Like
the twirl, though, he's using centrifugal force to distribute the butter topping more. I look at that, I'm like, that's fucking respect. Because sometimes you go to a place and you're like, hey, man, I like a lot of fucking, like, look me in my eye, man.
Yeah.
I like a lot of butter, man.
That's me. Like, I'm cholesteroled up.
Yeah. I'm like, look me in my, like, I'm not saying just butter. I'm not saying butter that shit. And he looks like a guy who understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Other people you see, they're like, okay, they do like halfway, put a little on, put the other half on, boom. They're like, okay, get the fuck out. And I'm not saying, like, you got to put more effort into it. I'm just saying there's levels to how people butter it, and that's God tier.
Yeah. Yeah,
takes his job very seriously. Award. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All right. He deserves an Oscar. That should be a category in the Academy Awards.
And a living wage. Fuck.
Yes. Team. Even that, maybe. I don't know. Let's not go, let's not go too crazy.
If you serve popcorn like that, anybody with a job deserves a living wage. But shit, bro.
Somebody get this man some more money.
Or like start a fucking, you could start seminars, man.
Yeah. Right.
Like they have flair bartenders in like Vegas bars. Like, why don't you have like flair popcorn people?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And there's been a couple incidents over the past couple weeks. One we talked about on here, one I had totally missed. But Miles, you made the good point that the way these stories are being written is leaves something to be desired.
A tremendous amount of grace, yes, is being afforded to these people who are doing objectively fucked up things. So we talked about Matt Schlapp, the founder of CPAC. He was credibly accused of sexually assaulting a male campaign worker during the midterms. But when you look at the headlines, journalists are just using the term groped. Mm. They're like, oh, he's accused of groping someone. Oh, he groped a guy. Rather than like, actually, like, look, if you're being groped and you don't want some motherfucker groping you, you are being assaulted.
Assaulted. Yes. Yeah.
So why are we mincing words here? Like in one of the interviews that the accuser gave, he used the phrase, quote, pummeled at length to describe this physical interaction.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't just like, so it's a lot of excuse, like a lot of excusing language. And I just don't know how we can advance any kind of discussion about like rape culture in our society when we can't even call out assault as assault without some editor getting all fucking torn up about using like accurate descriptions in their reporting.
Right.
Like, it just does everyone a tremendous disservice. And it allows things to be like, oh, he, you know, like people in their minds probably read grope and it hits differently than hearing sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's so that was like when I was like, oh, that's interesting, because most of the headlines say grope. A few say actually use the term, like are actually using the correct terms, but a lot are just going this quote unquote, like using quotes and stuff. It's very dismissive.
It doesn't even
but
say
again,
unwanted in the headline. Like, it just says, yeah, accused of groping GOP staffer's crotch, which. It's an important distinction.
Yeah. But again, that's one that's afforded to powerful white men in this country, yeah, especially one who's so connected in conservative circles. And then there's Dana White, who is the head of the UFC. OK, the biggest fucking MMA organization in the world. Over New Year's, he was caught on camera in a violent altercation with his wife at a club in Cabo where she's in his face. She shoved him. She slaps him. Then he comes right back and he slapped her twice in the face on fucking camera.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, you've been caught literally in 4K with all this shit going on. And guess what? Crickets. Fucking nothing. Like, Jack, to your point, you said, I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about
it. Yeah.
This.
You know why? ESPN, who's one of the UFC's main partners along with Endeavor, they're both like mum on the topic. Like, and there were a few tweets that you saw from people who worked at ESPN. They're like, you know, we've kind of been instructed to not have any, I guess, incendiary commentary regarding this story.
Mm.
And yeah, you're like, oh, shit. Okay. Dana White came out and he said, oh, you know, I crossed a line. It was a terrible mistake. There's no excuse. This is the first time this has happened, which I, anyway,
girl,
that can be debated. And meanwhile, Stephen A. Smith took time out on a show just to like excuse the behavior. He was even I just wish the best for him and his family. You know, like
my moral barometer, Stephen A. Smith.
I know. He says he knows how wrong he was to do this. He knows that we're on this. He knew ahead of time because I reached out to him to let him know I would be talking about it this morning. Okay, that's a nice courtesy. He knows that he crossed a line that he has never crossed before, that he swears he will never cross again. So you're doing all this PR work for this person. Like, why? White himself has said, like, for example, Ray Rice, who was an NFL running back who, like, you know, violently attacked his then fiance, he was done when right. that video came out. And mm-hmm. it's funny, at the time, Dana White said, oh, his career is over. He's like, wow. I've always said, the second you put your hands on a woman, you're done. But that hasn't also stopped him from signing people that fight in the UFC that have DV allegations against them. Right. And, you know, you look at all this. I mean, the full weight of sports media will come down on people. Like, you know, if they're black, especially.
Yeah.
We've seen it. And especially when it's objectively inexcusable behavior, it should be called out because that's how Absolutely. We move forward. But when you start being inconsistent with it, you don't have the same energy because the last name is literally white. Now you're fucking up on so many levels. I mean, fucking Will Smith was jettisoned from the earth when he slapped Chris Rock after he made a joke about his wife. And so many people were like, oh my God, I can't imagine. Oh, the stays. He's an angry black man. All this nonsense. Like, and I get that no one wants to see that. That's whatever. That's their own bullshit that they're dealing with in a very messy public setting. But again, right. how are we going to protect women or take domestic violence seriously if the collective response of the media is going to be just a shoulder shrug?
Yeah.
Or even worse, there have been takes from other athletes or other people around Dana White who are saying, oh, well, she hit him first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's all good. Nothing to see here.
I was actually wrong. I did see a headline about this, but this was the headline on ESPN. Power Slap League, run by UFC's Dana White, has TV debut delayed. And then buried down in the article is the fact that it was the result of him admitting to a physical altercation with his wife. Do you remember the Power Slap League is this
That's
horrific that is... idea where people just stand toe-to-toe and are not allowed to guard, as they just get slapped as hard as the person can. And people, like the day that we talked about it, it was coming up, like the premiere of Dana White's Power Slap League was coming up in a couple weeks, and someone had just died in Poland from that.
Doing a similar
and that's event. Not yeah. what stopped it. Mm. It was the,
right.
yeah.
Just the irony, too, of like Dana White's Power Slap League is just so fucking.
Somebody needs to send him to therapy. That's what that sounds like. It sounds like he has a problem with violence. Around, like just in general. And it sounds like he needs more help. Than
his own mother, own mother said that he has issues with treating women properly.
He needs help. Yeah.
His own mother came out and said that like years ago. Mm. But again, it just. You see the protection that is afforded to wealthy people who are influential, and you have a media class who's, you know, just kind of have to, it's not always going to be consistent. Sometimes it's a strike, sometimes it's a terrible mistake that he'll never do again, and it was the first time.
Right. Yep.
And it's just, you know, I think this is just all part of our, like, current, like, media landscape where there's so much shit going on. You need to inform people what is happening, not mince words, and when people are outraged over something like that, be able to inform people because they should be.
Yeah. If I can add, I think the bigger thing too in saying this is the idea of being complicit with this kind of stuff, right? So when you work for a media company and you see a story like this comes out and you try to run the story, because this is what, again, the journalism in me, I can hear someone putting the story together and then have someone in the background saying, oh, we can't say it this way because they're a sponsor, there's money involved, yada, yada, yada. But I think for me, this notion of, well, what we're saying is when we run a story a certain way and we're not calling out the idea that violence was at the root of it, right? Or that DV is at the root of it.
Right.
We're now complicit with saying that it's okay to do this. And I think that's the thing that really makes me so upset. It's not even the idea of race. The race piece is important, yes. And I want to make sure that we name that. But I think for me, it's this notion of we have so many people in media who are complicit with all of these terrible things that continue to happen. And that's the reason why the status quo continues to stay where it is.
Right. Because the status quo is somebody going to ESPN, somebody going to ABC, someone going to NBC. That's really, and whatever that, the base level or the tone of that reporting is what the country is. So if it's Dana White caught in a heated exchange with wife in Cabo, then domestic violence doesn't exist. There's only heated exchanges.
Heated exchanges, yep.
And yeah, to your point, that is only going to erode our ability to actually properly address and be outraged at these kinds of things.
Or women dealing with this and not reporting it. Like, so, I mean, we see it in 4K in this case, but how many other women in you know, positions of, or who are married to or connected to people with power are not sharing the fact that they were beat up in an elevator, you know?
Yeah. And it's, again, the absolute power of whatever is the most profitable thing winning out in the U.S. And yeah, it's as bad as any, you know, example of royal corruption and shit. It's like, yeah, we will excuse the worst behavior, anything in order to.
Quite literally. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about excusing the worst behavior, further proving that classified documents are basically Pokemon for elderly politicians. Joe Biden had a small number of classified documents. Fewer
than a dozen. Mewtwo. He had a Mewtwo on him.
Not a Charizard.
But these were from his time as VP, and they were found in a private office by his lawyers while they were packing files last fall. You know, people on the right are immediately comparing it to Trump's Mar-a-Lago document hoarding, which I think is probably going to be very effective, right? With their listeners, with their viewers, that it's the same thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter for that group. Like, they could have a million. They're like, exactly. Also, I don't know any of the words I'm using.
Ain't got the sense God gave a pigeon.
Yeah. Two things that are happening here, though. So the thing that distinguishes it from Trump's, you know, intentional long-term hoarding was that Biden was never notified he had the records, nor was he asked to return them. And as soon as they were found, his team informed the government and they were handed back within a day. Whereas Trump had boxes of documents, ignored requests to return them. Even when he allowed some to go back, he secretly hoarded more, necessitating the grand jury subpoena. So it's kind of the difference between like forgetting to return a library book you didn't realize was still checked out and, you know, trying to burn the library down or trying to like blackmail the library with, like, I don't know.
Or just trying to steal like a whole section of the library.
A whole section of the library.
On the way out. Be like, hold on, are you checking those out? They're like, shut the, no. Because I mean,
why
Trump
is the second floor empty?
What the fuck? What happened to all the YA romance novels?
Yeah. Where are all the YA romance novels?
That man took them. Yeah. But he really was going through documents like he was record shopping. You know what I mean? The way like, oh, yeah, but this one. Ooh, this one. Oh, yeah, that was spicy. Yay, I like that one. And that's, again, I think the biggest thing is just the timing of it. Because what? This happened in November, right?
So this is the other thing, the other big thing that's happening here that kind of ties in with the story that we talked about, I think, in last week's episode about Pete Buttigieg was in charge, like, was the only federal employee who was able to do anything about the Southwest fiasco meltdown. That left a bunch of consumers stranded, and Southwest just was like, "Ah, sorry, that's them's the breaks."
Yeah.
And the mainstream media did seem to just be somewhat complicit in that. In this case, Biden's documents were found back in November, just weeks before the midterms, but they waited until now to announce it, presumably because of potential political blowback. So I guess it's not the media knowing about it in this case, but it is
them sitting on it. They're like, I wonder what happened to like, hey, I got to talk to you. The president had some classified documents that we had to return. And like the chief of staff's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just fucking wait. Like, can we wait a month?
Yeah,
the fucking I can't have these fucking people screaming about it.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
But yeah, so
whatever. I mean, CBS was really like some of their headlines was like, Biden also has classified documents he shouldn't have. The both sidesing. There's some real interesting both sidesing going on too with this story.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit like, okay, like are y'all going to focus on what's happening with the House right now? Because they have lost the plot over there.
Yeah,
fully. They're like, oh, we got to get this fucking deficit under control. I think they're new, like the latest like budget thing that they're putting forward, like puts us over like $100 billion already, like with no thought of like this deficit that they were so mindful of. But anyway, he also
I think they're voting to abolish the IRS and eliminating income tax. That. Not the ICE. They should vote to abolish ICE.
New IRS agents, which we know famously go after the wealthy people.
Right.
Yeah.
Because my dad's broke ass was audited in 93. We don't know why. Yeah. But I'm like, he's like, I don't got shit. The fuck is this about? How did some rich motherfucker? Also, this is right. the pre-internet. He's like, I got to file all this paper shit, my taxes for this many years. But it's just, it's a joke too. And like, you know, they're clearly laying the groundwork for some really like an attack on the LGBTQ community too. Cause they've already, one of the first orders of business was reversing the gender neutral language that was introduced in 2021. And also being like, and nobody should be getting trouble if they want to use gender terms whenever they want. Like, they're just already, they're like, mm-hmm. take that stuff down, take that out, this. It's going to be pretty despicable, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's take one more break. We'll be back to talk pop culture and other silly stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back, and this is our JFK assassination conspiracy. For our generation. So back in 2012,
whew,
you might remember.
What a time.
I didn't, but you guys did. Kim Kardashian was flower bombed. She was being interviewed on the red carpet. Someone came up, and I thought it was going to be more like violent than it was. It was more of like she was sprinkled with flour. Her head did go back and to the left as it happened, but she was at an event launching her new perfume. It drew attention to the product and the seriousness of baking ingredient based attacks.
But, absolutely.
Like, police were called and everything. Like, yeah. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says deputies were called to the London Hotel because somebody threw powder on her. And, you know, you don't know that it's flour.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah.
Could be the cocaine that her PR agent was doing when.
Yeah. Tea.
Yeah. Also, that's an expensive prank.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking throw like a quarter pound of cocaine on somebody. But, okay. Do you? You got 8 ounces of money.
Woo.
She bravely refused medical treatment at the time. Paramedics were called to the hotel, but Kardashian refused medical treatment. And described it as the most craziest, unexpected, weird thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, do you want to, Jack? You said you've never seen it. Do you want to see
Oh, I watched the video. For the story. Yeah,
I mean, the audio is just interesting because she's giving an interview and the person just utters "fur hag," because it was like an anti-fur protest supposedly. But she's giving an interview. She's talking. Oh, here comes a person from the back with the bag. Oh! Here's the thing, though. This is the beginning of Kim Kardashian's terrible acting career.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowing what we know now, her reactions are very, like, I knew that shit was gonna. She's like feigning outrage. She's like, yeah.
Feigning outrage, smiling.
Like she's smiling. She's smiling right here.
Yeah,
she's
like, smiling.
Oh shit, it happened according to plan. Anyway, so
yeah,
what were you saying about this adventure?
And then walks off with her head down, like almost like trying to stifle a laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Or it was kind of doing that thing where like someone threw a like on a reality show where someone throws a drink on someone and they're not trying to let that phase them. So they go, right. Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. Right.
And just wipe the drink off.
Right, that before grabbing their hair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyways, we recently learned that it was all a PR stunt. She was totally in on it. Her PR agent and her planned the faux attack in order to create a media moment. Mm-hmm. She supposedly told Kim Kardashian, if we create media gold, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's going to be talking about your perfume. Everyone's going to buy it.
Did that happen?
I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I thought you were saying you always wear white diamonds, you said.
Yeah. it's a melange.
Oh, you're switching it up?
Okay. Right. Classy, honey. He's classy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't Tom Cruise have something similar happen to him, too, where he got flower bombed? Literally the same year?
He got sprayed with a squirt gun, I think.
Was it? I thought he got flower bombed, too.
Oh, did he? Interesting.
I think he did.
Maybe they were like, this works so well.
Or maybe he got glitter bombed. Wait, let's see. There's a whole thing he said. Celebs get attacked. Glitter bombed. Flower bombed. Kim got the flower. Who is this? I think Lindsay Lohan got hit with glitter and flower. Oh, yeah. I don't know. That looks like a liquid on Tom Cruise. What did you say?
Okay, so then maybe he did get wet.
He did at one point get sprayed with a squirt gun. And I just remember
that's
because
what it looked like.
He has this like very friendly facade. But when he got sprayed with a squirt gun, went away fast.
He turned it up.
It was
because I thought this was a part of something about Mary.
Yeah.
Somebody has a screen cap.
I was like, what is happening in this picture? So, yeah. He got mad.
Lindsay Lohan and the screen cap that they used of her glitter bomb attack looks like she's being hit with molten metal.
Yeah. Or like a grenade went off.
I don't know. This is interesting to me because it suggests that like there are those times where you hear a conspiracy theory. Like I had recently heard that all the Don't Worry Darling extreme media push controversy was all part of some 4D chess plan. And it did seem to, like, it had a big opening weekend and then kind of died off after that. But that is, a big opening weekend is usually a testament to a really successful media push. And I don't know, like this, so first of all, it's such a bad idea, like, to say out loud, we're going to make people buy your perfume by dumping flour on your head. But it is also, like, it was definitely like conceived by someone who was doing too many stimulants, I think, whether it be coffee or what it was. But it does kind of open my mind to, okay, I'm going to be viewing anything like this in the future through new glasses because of this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because so much is like celebrity is such a spectacle that all you have to do is, you know, think a little bit ahead of how people are going to respond to what's happening to a celebrity. And you get this kind of shit like all the time where like it would be like, oh, if someone does this, then it's popping. If you got all this talk around, you know, the stuff that was going on set or whatever, people are going to be talking because I feel like the days we used to just take movies in, there would be a billboard. There'd be a fucking bus bench ad. There'd be a couple music videos and you knew a movie was coming out.
Right.
But I think in the age of like the internet and everything, it's like those same. Yeah. I don't think those work in the same way. And they kind of have to do like run psyops on the fucking audience to get them interested on some level. Right.
Well, related but not related. I was thinking about the whole, I don't know if you've all talked about it, but the Jen Shah thing. Right. So her bringing a fake bag to her her sentencing. Everyone has been talking about that. And I'm like, as much as people are like, oh, this thing, I'm like, that's what these reality folks have been crafted to do. They've learned how to make every moment of their, like, anything happen. It's a moment. And so, like, I'm not surprised that someone would come out and say Kim Kardashian's flower blonde thing was a moment. For me, I'm sorry, but I'm laughing because as I'm looking through the photos, there's these people vacuuming up the flower. And it's taking me down every time I see someone with an actual vacuum vacuuming up the flower. But all that to say,
crime scene cleanup.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Clean it up. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. But I'm curious to hear from you guys, any Zeitgang, what are stories like this that you always suspected were an inside job? There have been rumors that Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian's sex tape leaks were both, you know, things that they did that, you know, whether it was an inside job or not, both like exploded their careers and to the stratosphere, you know. So
did Paris Hilton say that she wasn't a part of that?
She has come out and said that, but it's always been rumored that. So
right, because you know. Because I feel like the guy she was with is like a total fucking predator.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what other things. I mean, I'm not saying this is an inside job, but when the Caitlyn Jenner Vanity Fair cover came out,
right,
when she came out, that was the day like the renewal of the Patriot Act was going on. And there was a lot of outrage because Edward Snowden was like being like, you know what the NSA is kind of up to?
Right.
And there was a huge conversation around surveillance, but the debate, like on like the day before, there's all this debate going on. And then that like they were like trying to get the votes right and they finally got it through. Just served as a great, it was more of an example of a great like pop culture distraction while something really fucking like despicable is happening. Yeah. That's what I always thought. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at the dates of it, you're like, wow, that's I think just more serendipitous for the military industrial complex and surveillance state.
Right. But then Caitlyn Jenner ends up being a Republican politician.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and then you're like, and then at the end, it's like, it was an op.
Right.
Just so you know. I feel like Julia Fox was never interested in Kanye, but that's not necessarily something I think was a setup. That just seems like self-serving, like social climbing of the lowest common denominator variety.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What other, you know, like was it Tom Cruise jumping up and down on the couch? That felt contrived.
That did.
Or was that real? You know, like, where do we land on that?
I think that was a Dean Scream level, like, the media ran with something because they were ready to pile on.
You're doing the opposite!
And because when you picture that moment in your mind, what do you see? Like, do you see him jumping up and down on the couch?
I see
like, it's a trampoline?
Yeah, in my mind, I think.
So,
why?
What actually, he jumped on the couch, stood there for a second, and then jumped off. Like, when you go back and watch it, it's somewhat underwhelming.
He just hopped on.
Yeah, he hopped on hopped on. He I'm not saying the version that came through into the, like, collective consciousness was earned by just, like, his being intense to a degree that it's like, well, that person's really not human and their career is built on them portraying humans up to that point. And since then, Tom Cruise has been like, all right, what if my thing is just I'm the most intense person and I will die for you to watch my movie? But I think I don't think the media had to work too hard on that one as opposed to the Dean Scream. But I do think that one was, it was just people were ready to be like, this person is, we're out on Tom Cruise.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's my theory. Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did he say, I love my wife, or did he say, I love that woman?
I love that woman, I believe is what I remember.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Very believable. Very believable.
Yeah, there's a lot of that's a lot of drugs, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Or thetans, you know?
Yeah, I think he's just got the natural. He's got that CEO energy, you know?
Yeah, because he's like, yeah, if he weren't an actor, he'd be like some billionaire who like,
oh, for sure.
You know, like let like millions of people die like under his watch.
Spends
but I don't know.
40% of his day clapping, you know, like just that energy.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of other movie stars, Mel Gibson is reportedly making Passion of the Christ 2, Cruise Control, as
Christ
the writer JM put it. It's not called Cruise Control. But
it should be Christ Control.
Yeah. Mm. But he's apparently just months away from making a sequel to his torture porn blockbuster, The Passion of the Christ.
What's it about?
So this is interesting. So he's talked before about the project and said that it's going to be wild and a vast theological experience that is an acid trip, which sounded cool to me, much cooler than the first Passion of the Christ. I don't know if y'all saw that, but that is, this is the least movie-like movie.
The anti-Semitism was a little wacky in that one.
Oh my God. And there's just like there's no plot. It's just a person getting beat until the thing.
And look, and Jim Caviezel is doing great now.
Yeah, it really sent him
QAnon.
He also, I'm pretty sure, got struck by lightning while he was on the cross during the filming of that movie. It's like, how many signs do you need? Like, this is the sort of thing y'all believe in. Like, how many side signs that a God is up there not wanting this to happen do you need, if that's what you believe in? But anyways, the idea is that it will happen in the time between Jesus dying and Jesus rising in like some like heaven, hell, netherworld thing. So it's just going to be a totally different genre. It's going to be.
Hey, all right. Hey, man, I'd love to see someone really take treat their religion and treat it with the proper sanctity and respect it deserves, being like, hey, man, what about between Friday and Sunday, though? What the fuck was, what was going on in that
head, huh?
When he was in the cave.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it starts off like Friday? Like it starts, like the first thing you see is Friday.
It'll start out with, but, boom, it's Friday.
Boom, boom. Yeah. But then they, then they have him, what, like in a, I don't know. It's, I can't believe like someone's finding, whatever. Yeah, there's always somebody wants to make Jesus stuff.
Yeah. So there's a history of people trying to make sequels to this because Mel Gibson can't like copyright the story of Jesus or anti-Semitism. So you know, lots of people have been like, hey, this is a recipe that works. So there was a Christian film producer who tried to crowdfund $40 million to make a sequel. It didn't really go anywhere. Most fucked up attempt to make a follow-up to The Passion of the Christ came from the original film screenwriter, Benedict Fitzgerald. Benny Fitz, after the movie came out, was not getting any job offers, which is, you know, it is one of the most successful movies of all time. But on the other hand, the film was, let's say, controversial and also literal garbage. It's one of the worst movies. But also, I was just like, curious about like what was his backstory? Was he working? Like, did he write Lethal Weapon 4 and then Mel Gibson roped him into this or what?
Right.
Not a ton of credits, but is from like, have you ever seen Quiz Show, movie Quiz Show?
Yeah.
Where it's
with
about,
Ralph Fiennes and John Turturro?
And this guy who is like from a famous intellectual family becomes a famous quiz show contestant and gets all the answers, but he's cheating, and like that's what it seems like this person is. The so his dad is a famous poet critic named Robert Fitzgerald, and when he was a kid, Flannery O'Connor babysat him, but he's like literary royalty. And this was kind of, he like worked on a couple of TV shows, and then this was his biggest thing, and then everyone was like, oh man, we really didn't like that. So he hasn't been able to get work, but he was able to get a big payday by saying, actually, okay, what about prequel? Any interest in a prequel? And everyone's like, hell no. But he was able to raise money to make the movie by turning to a Mexican drug cartel.
Okay.
Signed an agreement with them. Was very,
oh, they sign agreements?
Yeah, exactly. Was shockingly incurious about like what are these people, where's all this money coming from, from these people that nobody in Hollywood's ever heard of.
Right.
And the cartel sued him over some money he couldn't pay back. And
the cartel sued him?
Yes.
I like that the cartels are like, hey man, get a business agreement.
This guy's a
we
mess.
Don't know this guy. Yeah. We don't know when, we don't know how he moves.
So the cartel signed over the rights to the movie to two men, one of whom wanted the other to give up his half of the script. And when he refused, the other guy kidnapped his brother, with the ransom being a faxed note agreeing to give up his half of the Passion prequel.
Oh my God.
This is the movie. This is the movie. I know. I don't understand why someone's not making this a movie.
Just be writing what is happening to stupid ass.
This guy runs afoul of the cartel. There's fucking kidnapping over the rights to the Passion of the Christ prequel.
This is the movie. Why is no one making this?
Is this optioned? Has someone optioned this? Because we should.
Yeah,
this is actually a fantastic movie that you could make. Like, and you don't have to talk about Passion Argo. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The script was then sold for $1 million to a producer who was immediately questioned by the DEA. And then when an arrest was made, the government, like the U.S. government, claimed the rights to 10% of the future profits of Mary, Mother of Christ, the name of the movie, because it was going to be all about Mary, which they then ended up losing in court. Like, they got sued to give up their rights to it. And then after all that, the movie was never made because the script had become tainted. But this is the legacy of a Passion of the Christ sequel, which is on one level, it's like the Titanic sequel. Like, it's a thing you would joke about.
You don't need
because
it
feels impossible. Yeah. But yeah,
I should.
This just is not a lot.
I got to see this movie now about this fucking guy going to the cartel to make a film that is so awful and the downward spiral that ensues. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but, you know. But I just like that the pivot was all right. Then let's do it like right after they take him off the cross. Until Easter Sunday, we'll do that. Okay, we burned the prequel. We don't. Nobody has the rights to the acid trip in the fucking cave, tomb, as it were.
That's right. So we'll see. We'll all be eagerly awaiting
where
he
was talking to Satan, snake, the serpent.
Do you think what is that going to look like? You know what I mean? How do you even do that? That won't. I feel like even Christian people who fucked with the first one might even be offended by whatever the director's depiction is of all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for you know what I mean? Sure. It's going to be wildly offensive and boring at the same time, like the first one.
Yeah. Like, is there going to be a scene where he's like, you know what I mean? Like going into like a
They're
wormhole.
Spinning the camera.
And then he lands in like a dark void. Where am I? Welcome to hell, Jesus.
Like, you're mine unless you can beat me in this fiddling contest.
James Brown gets a whole sequence. Because he's down there entertaining. Welcome to hell. And the doors open and it's just flames.
Get up!
Give it a
Jesus is like, what is going on? I mean, that would be in a way, if you said, there's a fucking sequence where Jesus goes in a fucking wormhole to a black void, which is hell. And then he has a dance battle with James Brown.
Yeah. The lights pop on.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, look, I don't fuck with Mel Gibson, but this is so absurd. I might have to torrent the illegal version of the film because I might have to see that.
Absolutely.
I would watch it just to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, so wait, would Jim Caviezel come back for this?
I have to imagine. I don't think he's going to object. Jim Caviezel, he's gone full right-wing MAGA.
Yeah. What's that going to do? I know. I mean, talk about controversy on top of controversy. Hey, Passion of the Christ 2.
And it'll probably do extremely well from conflict marketing.
Yeah.
So
called Electric Tumaloo.
Yeah. It is funny to me that... It is funny to me that they blamed for the flower bombing, like their made up villain was an animal rights person. Like they're just always they know
they get blamed for everything.
Yeah. They have the 4D chess mind to know that like the media wants to blame. Like they won't look too deep into that. They would love to blame an animal rights person. So
right.
Yeah. There it is. But yeah, I mean that conflict the first Passion of the Christ is probably the best example of conflict marketing. Like that movie is a monster hit.
Yeah.
And I don't like they were churches were being like, it is your duty. You will go to hell if you don't go out and see this movie.
Because isn't it in Aramaic too and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
it was
that
made
part.
In a whole bunch of different languages.
Yeah. All right. Well, can't wait to see the Shroud of Turin. Like, is he going to use the shroud as like, does he tie that up in like a nice head wrap or something?
Right. You know, like Rambo style.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
we're starting our own.
Yeah, remake. The three of us are about to write this script, John. We have to write it.
We have to write this. This has to get written.
Well, John, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist, as always.
Me. All I do is sit here and laugh because y'all, literally, a lot of these stories, all you can do is laugh because it's so terrible. if you don't laugh to keep from crying, what else can you do?
Yeah, so just lean into a little bit of outrage.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Well, right now you can find me swimming outside of my apartment because everything is flooded. Yeah. But with that being said, you can find me online by using the handle at Dr. John Paul. You can also visit me on my website at www.drjohnpaul.com.
Amazing. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. So I bookmarked actually this thing because it's so me. This person, Mask Potatoes, they tweeted me abruptly running from the elevator to my apartment because my brain told me there could be a killer in the stairwell. I genuinely, my brain tells me all the time, like, someone's in that corner, run. And so sometimes I'll, like, be getting out of my car and, like, I psych my own self out and then I, like, dart up the street because I'm, like, nervous that, like, Jason or somebody is after me. I don't know why I'm that way, but, yeah, that resonated with me because that's so me.
I've always suspected it is because when our brains were designed, we were actually running from things that were trying to kill us constantly. And so our brain just is like, we got to burn off some excess running from something that's trying to kill us energy. Mm-hmm. So let's get up and go. Let's make something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's make a movie. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Check Jack and I out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our basketball podcast. And also check me out on 420 Day Fiancé, where I talk 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's almost over, so I think we're all right.
Michael!
Let's see. Michael! I mean, I can't say it, Angela. She's like a nasty man. There's like so many toxic, abusive relationships on that show people are like, wow, they're messy. And I think half people are like, no, this is actually terrible to put on TV.
Yeah,
like,
they you should are not be abusing each other.
Yeah, it's wild. I feel like 90 Day Fiancé is going to be the first show where somebody kills somebody else on the thing and they put it in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like as part of like the Running Man, you know, type thing where it's like, that's where we're at, our new entertainment, star-crossed lovers. Anyway, here's one from a tweet from Rohita Kadambi, at Rohita Kadambi, tweeted, about 105 years ago when royals had an extended family feud, people died by the millions in trenches. Now, we're just watching it like an episode of The Kardashians, and I see that as progress. I feel like that. Absolutely. Yeah. We don't need to send people off for your empirical wars. Also, at Menace to Snacks tweeted, this like screen cap of a Gina Carano tweet, the UFC, like MMA fighter who went like hard right and then like got completely kicked off The Mandalorian. And then people were like, ooh. Anyway, she tweeted this. I didn't fumble the bag. I just didn't go along with the sellout narrative. The online mob couldn't handle that, so they petitioned to have me fired and won. I'm not sorry for that. I stood for what I believe the right thing to do was, and the more time goes by, the better I feel. And then they quote tweeted and said, quote, I wanted to make shitty westerns for Ben Shapiro instead of headlining a spinoff of the most highly valued IP in entertainment history. Checkmate, libs. Hashtag I'm not owned.
Oh, man. She was in Fast and the Furious, huh?
Yeah, and then the COVID vaccine takes came out and, people got to unmask in public.
Tweet I've been enjoying from January 1st, actually, from Will Sennett. At @sen_spud. My friend patting me down. Sorry to do this. It's just the last time everybody at the party was pretty weirded out. Me with my Kindle duct taped to my stomach. All good, brother man.
What's he going to do? Get in a bar fight with the Kindle on his stomach?
Like, no, just read at the party.
Oh, like he's smuggling it in?
Yeah.
In my mind, I thought of this thing of like you would tape phone books to your stomach so you could take a blow if somebody tried to sucker punch you. I don't know why that's where my mind went.
I'm more of a read at the party guy, so that connected I'm more with me. Of a, maybe that's what it was. Maybe
don't punch me in my weak core, please.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. So I've been listening to this group from this Irish folk group called The Breath. And I had never heard this group until this weekend. And this song I thought was like a West African kind of like rock tune going on first. Like the rhythm was very like West African. And then the vocalist, her name is Rena Connolly. Man, fantastic like voice for like this like kind of Irish folk thing. But the band is like funky in this weird way. And I think she's played for like Celt Afrobeat type like crossover bands and all kinds of stuff. But she's like a very interesting vocalist. This track was pretty dope. It's called What You Owe, and it's by The Breath. So I think of it like Funky Cranberries kind of in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's an apt, you know, comparison, but that's how I was like, ooh, wait, hold on. I'm back on my Irish shit now.
And don't try and figure out how to spell the lead singer's name. Just look up the band and then.
Man, shout out to those names, man. Ireland. Yeah. Every time I look at them, I'm like, okay, how am I going to tackle this one?
Yeah. How many vowels can we pack into this fucker?
Yeah.
It seems like, to be the guiding principle.
Man, I remember the first time I met a Siobhan. Yeah. I was shook to say their name because I had no idea how to say it. And then they said Siobhan. I was like, oh, shit, I almost called you Siobhan.
Yeah.
My bad.
Throw a stray H in there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.